Chapter 1. Minneapolis. Veronica Austin stood in line behind a tall woman with long black hair, her blonde roots clearly visible in the streetlight brightening the corner. A circular tribal tattoo of jagged black lines decorated the base of the woman's neck between her broad shoulders. Dad never liked tattoos. He didn't like the idea of Veronica returning to Minneapolis after 20 years either, but that didn't stop her. A huge neon sign hanging above the entrance glared dark sepulcher, with the L blinking in rapid succession. Black paint peeled from the brick walls, now discolored from years of treacherous Minnesota winters. Posters of upcoming concerts and events lined the wall. Veronica wasn't interested. At a glance, you'd mistake the building for an old factory, but she knew better. She'd been told that the building housed secrets, dark secrets, and she planned to discover each one. This was the starting point in the search for her mother. She cleared her throat, and the woman glanced back, giving her a half smile. Instead of real eyebrows, the woman had drawn severe black swaths with an eyeliner pencil, and she'd colored her lipstick line above her upper lip, giving her mouth a full yet abstract look. Two bouncers stood at the front entrance dressed in black t-shirts with "Security" printed in white letters. Veronica handed the taller bouncer her California driver's license and waited while he studied it under the glare of his bright flashlight. She sucked in her breath and prepared herself for questions about why she'd come and what she wanted with Dark Sepulcher. Instead, the bouncer flicked the license back to her and motioned for her to enter. She slid a $5 under the steel bars of the cashier's window, who snapped up the bill without a glance as she bobbed her head to the beat from her earphones. Veronica thought she recognized the chorus of "Devil Went Down to Georgia" by Charlie Daniels' escape from the girl's earphones, but it drowned under the bass coming from behind a thick, dark curtain blocking the venue's entrance. She stepped forward, sucked in another deep breath, and pulled the curtain back. She wondered how her mother felt, walking into this same mysterious environment nearly 20 years ago. The question repeated in her head like a broken record. She needed an answer. No one in her father's bastardized organization, the Brotherhood, had the balls to question her mother's disappearance. No one except for Veronica. Her father buried all photographs and mementos of her mother, and he sent her to San Diego to live under the care of the Brotherhood. His actions had since festered inside her wounded heart. He'd sold family heirlooms, pawned his wedding ring. He'd destroyed family pictures, the frozen moments that captured family outings, picnics, and celebrations. She'd become a threat to her father, who now had the title President of the Midwest Division. The Brotherhood had split America into three divisions long ago, with each division answering to the headmaster, the overall leader of the organization. During the time of her mother's disappearance, her father held the title of Region Leader, a step below president, and his duties included handing out orders to the researchers under his control, one being his own wife. The group was known throughout the demon world as humans who watched but never interfered. But something happened during the time of her mother's disappearance. Somehow, they crossed the line. The president of the Midwest Division was killed, and the chapter disbanded shortly after. Veronica had no clue what she might encounter in Dark Sepulcher. As she pulled back the heavy curtain, her eyes jumped frantically back and forth as they tried to adjust to the darkness. Life-sized macrame figures hung from the ceiling. White smoke spewed from fog machines and drifted ghost-like toward the crowded dance floor. Writhing bodies moved in trance-like motion to throbbing music blasting from massive speakers surrounding the floor. She felt an unexplainable euphoric vibe circling the club with the fog. It enthralled her. This wasn't the scary Dark Sepulcher from the story told to children at bedtime to frighten them from misbehaving. If you act up, the scary demon will get you. No, this is Party Central. Or so she thought. She focused her stare on a small stage standing erect to her left. A wooden beam hung horizontally above the stage with a woman tied fast to the beam. Though mesmerized, she moved on, passing a row of silver-tinted booths next to the wall. A group of boys and girls, none appearing older than 18, huddled in the corner booth talking over a small lit candle in the middle of the table. They laughed aloud, shouting over one another until their voices jumbled together. The music changed to a faster rhythm and they fled the booth, pushing past her in their rush to reach the dance floor. Much to her relief, everyone looked human. None of the clubbers possessed traits of the demon, the sharp fangs, the dark, hollow eyes. She'd expected them to ooze from the woodwork, romping around like drug addicts looking for their next high. The speakers pulsed with beats of industrial music. She felt the bass thumping and vibrating each inch of her body. She'd been to raves and dance clubs in San Diego before, but the music had never been this loud. Of course, the Brotherhood had an explanation for the loud music. A vampire quite different from the demon owned Dark Sepulchre. To her, they were one and the same, evil, foul, and wretched, yet they also had differences. While vampires lived off the blood of humans, demon lived off the psychic energy generated by humans in different ways. The fog-filled room, the gyrating bodies, the electrified air, it all combined to assuage her worries. Despite herself, she felt her lips part in a seductive smile. And that's when she saw her first demon. In the writhing crowd, a woman tossed back her head and laughed. She twirled her pale hands above her head as she danced, her long brown hair bouncing around her shoulders. A true professional at mimicking human movements, she'd made a flawless attempt to hide her true identity. The darkness hid the most visible signs, but her razor-edged teeth could not be masked. "She's a demon, Ramanga," Veronica whispered into the deafening din. Even as she said the words, she felt her heartbeat pick up its pace. A baby-faced guy dancing with the demon seductively snaked his arms around her tiny waist and ground his pelvis against her. Is he crazy? He had to see those teeth up close and personal. He had to know she could sink them into his tender flesh at any moment. Why didn't he run? These ruthless creatures didn't think twice about killing anyone. They maintained their secrecy by hiding, remaining unknown to the world around them. But here they stood, in a vampire club, doing what they wanted without anyone to tell them otherwise. They walked, talked, danced, and conversed with their human food. Alert to their presence now, she scanned the crowd. Demon, it seemed, popped up everywhere. Many danced in groups, though some danced alone. Others danced with a single partner, human and demon alike. Yet fear didn't exist, except in Veronica's fluttering chest. No one else cared. To her right, a large crowd had gathered at the bar, cheering on a man who chugged a full bottle of vodka. A cadaverous woman with blonde dreadlocks stood behind him, caressing his shoulders with red-tipped fingers. Her formal black dress accentuated svelte curves, and her crimson lips formed a perfect O as she cheered on the drinking man. Even from several yards away, Veronica saw the bright white contrast of the woman's spiky teeth. She turned away, immediately spotting two demon males. They ogled the dancing crowd with lusty eyes as they moved like liquid throughout the club, indifferent of being known and unhindered by any repercussions it might cost them. She felt a gentle tap on her right shoulder and jumped. She whirled around, coming face to face with a young waitress with a tray tucked under her left arm, her right hand perched on a pillar. "You want anything?" she screamed above the music. Veronica only shook her head, startled by the woman's bizarre appearance. She wore a black wife beater, faded black pants, and her mascara was smeared and smudged. She winked, then turned on her heel and disappeared into the crowd. The music thundered even louder now, and Veronica returned her attention to the dance floor. Two dancers clad in sheer white shirts, micro minis, and fishnet stockings gyrated on a raised stage in the center of the dance floor, while a horde of men below them clawed at their feet. One of the dancers placed the spiked heel of her knee-high boot against a man's forehead and shoved him backward. Like shamans in a ritual trance, the men and women twirled their hands and moved their hips from side to side. Veronica stared at the performance until the rapidly blinking dance lights caused vertigo to set in. Feeling nauseous, She turned and leaned against the railing that separated the dance floor from the rest of the carpeted venue. She swallowed back bile, resisting the urge to regurgitate the ham and cheese sandwich she'd wolfed down earlier. The tiny hairs on the back of her neck danced. She felt the waitress standing behind her and stiffened. She knew it was vital to hide her thoughts from Demon, and she did her best to make her mind a blank slate by imagining a brick wall. It was just one of their various abilities. They couldn't control humans like vampires could with the sounds of their voices. Instead, they forced themselves into a human's brain, scouring it for any information they desired. "You okay?" The waitress tapped her on the shoulder. "You sure you don't want anything?" A bottle of Jack popped into her mind. "Whiskey." "Whiskey?" "Yeah, just whiskey." The waitress twisted her mouth into a wry smile. She headed for the bar. The music changed tempo and volume. A slow song oozed throughout the club. One of the dancers left the stage with a line of men trailing behind her. She stopped just outside the bathroom door, blew a kiss, and entered, closing the door behind her. As if the spell she'd held over them had broken, the men glanced at each other in confusion, then each headed back toward the dance floor. The waitress seemed to appear out of nowhere again, and she placed a shot of whiskey on the table in front of Veronica. She handed her a 5. "Keep the change." "Thanks." She folded the bill between her fingers with one hand and tucked it in her cleavage. "Anything else I can do for you?" "Yeah, how long has this place been open?" Veronica glanced around, feigning awe. The waitress rolled her coal-rimmed eyes to the ceiling and tapped her chin. "It's been here forever." She shrugged. "It's always packed like this?" She smiled. "Oh yeah, everyone comes here. There's nothing else to do in this boring city. You here by yourself?" "No, I'm with a friend." "Well, have fun. It's a kick-ass club." She waved and walked away. Veronica tossed back the whiskey and gagged as it stung the back of her throat. The volume of the music increased again, and the crowd's jollity changed with it. They cheered, pumping their hands at the DJ booth in unison. The DJ whistled into his microphone in response. She finished the rest of her whiskey, sipping slower this time as she scanned the crowd. Her stomach gurgled a complaint against the harsh liquor. She sought the bathroom door again and noticed a crowd of women pushing in. "Better go get in line." She excused herself through the crowd, passing another group of scantily dressed teenagers. She pushed open the bathroom door. A group of women stood in various poses in front of the cracked and broken mirrors near the far wall. She stepped over the clumps of matted hair and wet crumpled toilet paper on the bathroom's white-tiled floor, noticing the wet garbage lining the sinks and stalls. The toilet in the last stall overflowed, spilling its nasty contents onto the floor. The bathroom's filth contrasted the rest of the club. Dozens of different conversations overlapped one another, and the sound of the running toilet grated Veronica's nerves. A few of the women glanced up, then continued pasting on makeup in blotches of cherry, amber, peach, tan, purple, and black. Not all of them were human. One woman, particularly ghostly, applied a heavy layer of face powder to give her skin a normal hue. She painted her eyes, lips, and cheeks to eliminate her demon markings. Veronica saw the dancer, now standing in front of the mirror brushing her hair. She chatted freely with the demon woman, giving her tips on what kind of makeup appealed to men. A chill snaked up her spine. The dancer shoved her hand into her red backpack and pulled out more cosmetics to add to the many bottles and tubes littering the sink. She approached the sinks, her steps tentative. The dancer watched her silent approach in the mirror. In one swift motion, the female demon scooped her belongings into an oversized handbag and pushed her way out the door. The other women followed, leaving her and the dancer alone. Veronica adjusted the water temperature to cool and prepared to splash her face. "You have to wait a minute," the dancer said. Veronica jerked her hands from the milky water gushing from the faucet. In a moment, the water ran clear. "Thanks. I nearly put that on my face." She noticed a healing scar above the dancer's collarbone, slightly discolored. A scab wound extended from the middle of her back down to her cleavage, stitched together with dried blood. Healed bite marks covered her neck. The Brotherhood called them minions, humans who spied and reported to their demon owners the details of who, what, when, and where. They vied to be sired by serving their masters well. "How did you get those?" she asked, pointing to the dancer's scars. The dancer glared. "That's really none of your business." Veronica dropped her head and murmured an apology. She snatched a paper towel and dried her hands. "Sometimes I don't think before I open my mouth." The dancer's shoulders relaxed and she returned to brushing her hair. "It's okay. You aren't the first person to ask." Veronica knew she wouldn't be the last either. The dancer turned to her again. "I've never seen you here before. You a first-timer?" "It's obvious, huh?" She appraised her own clothing in the mirror. Her faded black shirt revealed its age and tiny holes. Her blue jeans were ripped at the knees, but that was fashionable, right? She looked down, noticing the fraying cuffs and her scuffed shoes. Fashion had never been her thing. The dancer coughed a laugh. "No, not really. Anything goes at Dark Sepulchre." She struck a pose in the mirror, pursed her fire engine red lips, and blew herself a kiss. "See ya, toots." As she strutted out the door, swinging her tote behind her, two women rushed in, nearly knocking the dancer down, but she never spoke up nor broke stride. The two shoved into the nearest bathroom stall together, slamming the stall door behind them. "What the hell?" A loud bang echoed from the stall, rattling the adjoining booths in a domino effect. Following loud and furtive whispers, a leg covered in bruises and welts jutted from under the door. As she tiptoed to the exit, the stall door flew open and slammed the wall. A tall, dark-skinned woman stood up, straightening her black leather miniskirt. Her eyes bored into Veronica's. "Your scent is intoxicating." She curled her upper lip into a snarl and jerked her thumb toward the other woman. "Better than this whore." She cocked her head back, closed her eyes, and sniffed the air again. "You're a virgin," she cooed, "untainted." When she smiled again, Veronica noticed the blood on her lower fangs. She took a step back toward the door, her hand hidden behind her, frantically searching the air for the knob. "What's your name, honey?" Her voice felt sensuous in Veronica's ears, and her eyelids felt heavy. She grasped the doorknob, jerked open the door, and fled into the club. "Where are you going, baby?" the throaty voice called behind her. Veronica rushed back to her table, her heart pounding out a cadence in rhythm with her hurried steps. What she learned on her own about the different kinds of demon ran through her mind again now, in an effort to calm herself. They were called demons, hellspawns, and even vampires. Centuries ago, researchers in Ireland finally settled on the name demon due to their licentious behavior. Based on their feeding habits, they then split the demon into the Ramanga, Lamia, Metuspa, and Lugat. Through blood and with sharp teeth, the Ramanga drained every drop of blood from their victims. Being the only demon with retractable fangs, they relied on the psychic energy within the blood to survive. Conceited, the Lamia fed by draining the same energy through the mouths of their victims. They had no need for fangs. All they needed was a viable opening and a willing or non-willing participant. Metuspa, the quiet of all the demon, fed off the psychic energy contained in their victims' auras. They took what they needed, nothing less and nothing more. Lugat fed off the leftover psychic energy by using their hands. They could feed off of almost anything. Where a person sat, what a person touched. Though all four clans differed in feeding habits, they all died the same. Beheadings, staking, starvation, and sunlight. "Hey!" The waitress appeared in front of her. "You okay?" Veronica glanced toward the bathroom, afraid she'd be followed. Her chest heaved and beads of sweat collected on her forehead. "I need a drink." "Another whiskey?" She nodded, and the waitress disappeared into the crowd. The pulsating bass emanating from the speakers grew louder and more intense, causing her to rub her temples. Fog machines released a steady stream of mist from above the crowded dance floor, giving the huge room an ethereal atmosphere. The lights dimmed, and she could hardly make out the waitress as she returned, carrying a shot of whiskey. "Here you go." She handed her the drink. Veronica gulped her drink and wiped her mouth with the back of her hand, this time thankful for the sensation of the amber liquid searing her throat. She preferred vodka, but at this moment, any liquid running down her gullet was good enough. "You want another one?" She nodded and the waitress left. Damn, this is harder than I thought it'd be. Her mind raced. Hide your thoughts, don't show fear, stick to the plan. She felt a tingling sensation deep in her forehead. In seconds, it had increased to the extent of a migraine. She looked up squinting, the pain becoming more intense with each passing moment, and she knew. "Someone's reading my thoughts." The waitress returned with two drinks. Thanks? She couldn't recall ordering two whiskeys, but she pulled out a $10 bill. "It's already paid for." The waitress pointed to a man sitting at the opposite end of the bar, his long brown hair slicked back in a ponytail. He wore black jeans and a long black see-through shirt, revealing his six-pack. He stared back at her with deep brown eyes and smiled, his pale skin resembling a demon at its finest. She felt the pain in her forehead ebb and flow, subsiding a bit each time. She turned to the waitress, but she'd again disappeared. Muddled, she downed the whiskey and slammed the empty glass on the table in front of her. She shut her eyes and concentrated on emptying her mind. The pain diffused into a mild tingling. Her eyes opened when a male voice told her to not be afraid. She whipped around, but no one was near. The voice came from within her head. "It's okay," the voice said. She looked at the man, who still fixed her in his stare. He slid from his seat and headed her way. She dropped her head and stared at the counter, quickly visualizing the brick wall. "Your thoughts stick out." He sat on the empty stool next to her. His penetrating stare caused her head to tingle again, but the tingle stopped as quickly as it started. She clouded his attempt to rummage through her mind. "Beautiful women like you shouldn't drink whiskey." What a line. His respectful approach did nothing to impress Veronica. The demon were naturally devious. She cupped the whiskey glass and stared into its glowing liquid. The stranger smiled and reached for the glass, grasping it from the rim and placing it front of him. "I'm trying to start a conversation," he prompted. From the corner of her eye, Veronica saw him examine her. His eyes roved her semi-long brunette hair. She tried hard to block her thoughts from him, but the tingle sensation told her she was failing. "You should know it turns me on when you do that," he said. She made eye contact for a second, then quickly looked away. He mumbled something, but his voice was too low for her to hear over the blaring speakers. Most of the men in Dark Sepulchre were attractive, but this man was hot. She stole a covert glance from under her eyelashes. Tall, medium build, long, glossy hair. "Stop it. Stay off that bandwagon." His full lips broke into a smile. "Sorry I intruded on your thoughts, but I gotta admit I like what I see in there." She felt heat rise in her chest, neck, and face. Busted. He offered his hand, another trick she wouldn't fall for. "I'm Remy, and you are?" She fixed her thoughts on her napkin, staring at the condensation ring left by the wet glass. Still, her mind wouldn't quiet. What demon type is he? Teeth aren't sharp and pointy. He's not a Ramanga. She stared again at her drink, wiping the droplets of water from the side of her glass. "Am I scaring you?" She shook her head and remained silent. "Do you talk?" "Not to strangers." She immediately regretted her gutsy remark, knowing it would intrigue him further. "Maybe you should." He traced the rim of the glass with a slender finger. "You're new here." She studied the woodwork on the bar. "Nervous?" He'd read her like an open book. She felt a tiny tingle as he tried again to read her thoughts. "Your thoughts. They come to me kinda like a movie. Sometimes clear, other times fuzzy." He chuckled. "Right now, they're crystal. Do you really find the bar's wood grain that intriguing?" Veronica couldn't help but grin. "Do you smell that?" His voice dropped to a loud whisper. "I smell a vampire." Remy's eyes fixated over her shoulder. The dark woman from the bathroom sashayed over and leaned against the bar. Veronica hardly recognized her. She now wore the professional attire of a businesswoman, grayish slacks, a red blouse, and and a gray suit jacket. She'd styled her hair into a chic ponytail and glossed her lips in red. Remy and the woman locked eyes. Veronica felt a fierce electrical tension emanating from the two and glanced back and forth between them. The woman smirked, and he smiled nonchalantly. "She's mine, Remy," she said. "He said I can have her." He revealed his even, pearly teeth, his fingers still tracing the rim of the glass. "Already tired of the other one?" Unable to stand the crackling air between the two, Veronica slid from the stool. The woman placed her hands on her hips, blocking her escape with her elbow. Remy smiled. "Not every female who strolls into Dark Sepulchre belongs to you, Alexis." Veronica made a mental note of the vampire's name. "But this little catch is stirring up the attention." Her lips puckered. "Oh, that's it," he said. "You just want to be the first to take her." Veronica eased sideways. They were playing a game to see who would be the first to have her. Well, she wasn't going to be had by anyone. She decided to leave. "Excuse me." She slid past him with the intent to walk away. "But we haven't talked yet, researcher." He tapped his index finger on the counter. His comment stopped her in her tracks. "Researcher?" Alexis visibly cringed at the mention of the word. "Well then, you can have her." She snarled, her lip in distaste. "I don't like them. Their blood tastes funny." A cold chill blew up Veronica's spine. Try as he might, she couldn't allow herself to be associated with the Brotherhood. She was not a researcher. Her father made sure of that. He kept her away from it, shielding her just enough to tell her what she needed to know. "I'm not a researcher," she blurted. "Not like my father." "Then who are you?" Remy asked, fixing her with his penetrating stare. The bad memories of the Brotherhood were fresh in the execrable minds of the vampires and demon alike. She couldn't risk allowing him to peg her with that title, thus immediately blacklisting her in the club and in the city. She buried the important pieces from her memory like names, cities, places, and the reason why she came to Dark Sepulchre from her mind. "What? What is it?" Alexis asked Remy. "What do you see?" He smirked. "A brick wall." "That's why she interests you?" She rolled her eyes. "Because she knows how to hide her thoughts? That should make you want to kill her even more." "Now, now," he said softly. "Let's give Veronica a chance to explain. He knows my name." The tingling sensation in her head returned. This time it hurt. She ran toward the front exit, plowing through the crowd until she made it past the security guards outside. Her heart thumped in her chest, and she drank fresh air in huge gulps. She slowed her pace once she reached the corner. Sloppy. Mom would never have acted like that. As she continued her walk home, thoughts about her father's warning before she left San Diego repeated over and over in her mind. He'd said she wasn't ready to come back to Minneapolis. She had to be. The full moon filled the night sky. She zipped her jacket as the wind picked up. She turned her face to the wind and inhaled, letting the crisp air fill her lungs. Fall was the best time of year in Minnesota. She shoved her hands into her pockets and mounted the steps home.